Again, we're holding Perek Yud Gimel, Mishnah Yeshabbos, Mishnah Hei. Rabbi Yehuda says, Hatzot Tzipo La Migdol Utzvi La Boyis Es Chayif. If you capture on Shabbos a bird into a Migdol, which is like a bird nest, a bird cage, it's not enough just to catch him in the house. You have to capture him into a Migdol. Or else at Tzvi, when you capture a deer, you bring him in to capture into the house, for that Yechayif. The Chomar Nechom say, Tzipo La Migdol. For a bird, we agree to you that you only Chayif if you capture the bird into a Migdol, into like a cage for the birds. Looks like a tower. But it's not enough just to capture him in the house. Utsvi, but the Chum say, when you want to capture a deer, la bayis, whether you bring him into the house, vila chotzer, it's enough just to bring him into your courtyard, vila bi vorin. Or you capture him into an enclosed pen. You have a place that's enclosed, that's also caught, you caught him, so you bring him and lock him up there on Shabbos, it's called Yechayiv Fetzod. Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel Leiner, loy kol habivorin shovim. Not all the pens are equal. This is the general rule. If one is inside this enclosed pen, you still have to capture him, you can't grab him. Is potter? That's not called. You made a melechet tzod, you'll be potter. But if you do not have to hunt him yet when he's inside there, you can just grab him, then you'll be chayiv. That's called you made a melechet tzod on Shabbos. Mishnah Vov. Tzvi shenichnas labayis. If a deer went into your house by itself, let's say, v'nol echad b'fonav, and somebody then shut the door and like locked him up, is chayiv. The person that shut the door, he's chayiv on Shabbos for the melechet tzod. Nol u'shnayim p'turim. Let's say two people close the door, then midiraisa they're both potter. That's the klal of shnayim shasuhu is potter midiraisa. Midirabonon it's also. What about lo yochol echol linoil for noal ushnayim? Let's say one person by himself cannot close the door. Just two of them together, you need to close the door. Then chayovim. Then we say the chayiv. For Rabbi Shimon Peiter, Rabbi Shimon says even in such a case also it's called like shnayim shesu. Still you put them in your isa. However, we do not paskin like Rabbi Shimon. We hold in a case where you can't do it by yourself and you need somebody else to help you, that's not called Shnayim Shasu, that's the normal way to do it, then you're both Chayiv. Mishnah Zayin. Yoshav Echad al ha-pesach v'loy milohu. Let's say like you had the deer inside the house, the door was still open, but now somebody sat down by the door, and when he sat down there, he did not cover up the whole doorway. Like the tzvi, the animal could still go out. Now Yoshav Hasheni Miloh, let's say the second person sat down, and now he covered up the whole doorway, the animal can't get out, so Hasheni Chayiv, it's considered like the second one made the Melechet Tzod, he's Chayiv. What about Yoshav Harishan Ala Pesach Imilohu? The first one sat down and he covered up the whole doorway. Uvo Hasheni V'Yoshav Betzidoi. Then the second one sat down next to him. Is Alpha P Shomad Harishan, even though the first one gets up and goes away, V'Holachla goes away, still Harishan Chayiv Hasheni Potter. Only the first one was Chayiv because when he sat down, he did the Melechet Tzod. And the second one is potter because when he sat down, it was already closed up already. Halom is that daim, what is this like? Lenoil is basal l'shamroi. If somebody closes the door to watch the house, then imtza tzvi shama b'soich, and it comes out that there's a tzvi watched inside it. In other words, you did not have intentions to close the door with the intentions of capturing the deer inside. You did not realize that tzvi was inside. You thought you're just closing the door to watch your house. So since you're not mischavin, you're potter.
Here also the same thing. When the second person sat down, the tzvi was already captured. So he did not have in mind to do a malacha of tzod. Therefore, later on, when it comes out that he's doing it, he's potter. Rav the Perek Yudalad. The Mishnah says, Shmoina shrotzim hu amurim b'Torah. The eight different types of shrotzim, of creeping creatures, that the Torah talks about in Parshas Vayikra. So the locher is that Hatzodon, whoever captures them on Shabbos, or else V'yachayivu b'hen, if somebody makes a wound in them, he's chayiv on Shabbos, for Melechos of Tzod. And for Chayivu is chayiv mishum netilas neshama. But taking out blood from the animal, that's like taking out its nefesh, yachayiv netilas neshama. Now these eight shrotzim that the Torah says in Vayikra, they are the choyle, some say it's a weasel, akfor, that's a mouse, anoko, it's a type of a house lizard, koyach, it's a salamander, leto, that's another type of a lizard, Chaymet, some is a sand lizard, and Tinshomis, that's a nuit, and Tsav, that's a great lizard. So these are the eight shrotzim the Torah talks about. Therefore, the loch is that these eight shrotzim have skin. There's skin on it. So therefore, the chiddush is about choyvel, that if you hit it, and the blood comes to the top, the blood does not come out, but just makes like a black and blue mark in the skin. See if there's skin there, then we say the pshat is that really the blood was going to come out, just that the skin held it back. So therefore, yichayiv mishum choyvel. So Mishnah says though, but oshar shkotzim rumoshim, but all the other types of creatures, ha choyvel ben, somebody's choyvel ben, means you hit it, and the blood just comes to the top but does not come out, the locher is potter, you're potter for the melechas of choyvel, because it's not called you did a melechas of netilas neshama, because since they do not have skin, if the blood was going to come out, it should have come out. Since the blood did not come out, that's a proof that you did not hit it that much, it's not going to cause the blood to come out. Therefore, you're potter. However, if the blood really does come out, then there are a lot of rishonim that hold, you would be chayiv even by the other shrotzim also. But hatzodon, if somebody captures them, the other shrotzim, then letzer chayiv. If you capture them for the purpose that you want to use them, then you're chayiv. Because by the shemayin shrotzim, we say capturing them for the skin, you could use it. But the shar shrotzim do not have skin, so there, if you do it for a purpose, for a fuah, some other things, then you chayiv. But shaloi letzerich, if you're not doing for a purpose to use the other shrotzim, then you're potter. You're not chayiv from leches of tzod. And Pasha, this Mishnah goes according to Rabbi Shimon Shita, that holds the melacha shein etzricha legufa is potter on Shabbos. That means you have to have the intentions of using the melacha itself the same way they did in the Mishkan. Now in the Mishkan, when they captured something, they captured it to use it, to use the skin of the animal. Therefore here also, you only chayiv if you capture something to use it. But if you capture it not to use it, you're potter ali by the Rabbi Shimon. Now chayavoyf, somebody has a wild animal or birds, shev rishusoy, that's in your own rishus, in your own house, that lives with you, like a tamed animal. Hatzadon potter, if you're going hunted, captured on Shabbos, you're potter, because it's considered already captured from before Shabbos, since it stays by you. But v'hachoyvul ben, if you hit it, you make a wound and blood comes out, or else the blood comes to the top of the skin and makes a black and blue mark there, then we say yichayiv. Because these things, animals and birds, have skin, therefore when the blood comes to the skin, it's considered a chayvul, it's considered as if the blood really should have come out, just the skin is holding it back, therefore yichayiv mishum netilas neshama. Mishnah Beis, Ein oisin hilmi b'shabbos. You're not allowed to make like pickling brine on Shabbos, which this is made from water and a lot of salt, and maybe a little bit of shemen. But mainly it's like salt water that you want to pickle your vegetables in it. So therefore, you're not allowed to make this salt water on Shabbos. Avol oisuhu es mehamelech. But you're allowed to make salt water, which means just a little bit salt in the water, not too much. Because then it does not look as if you want to pickle your vegetables. And therefore, v'toivu behen pitoy, you're allowed to dip your bread into this salt water. You're also allowed to pour this salt water into your food. In other words, if you only have a little bit salt water, you don't have that much salt, that's usable. It does not look like you want to pickle something. Now, the issa to make this hilmi, which is a large sum of salt in the water, because you're making something that looks like you want to pickle it on Shabbos. So now
because even though midiraisa we hold ain ibud boichlin, there's no real issa to prepare food, however, midirabonin it's also. Midirabonin, you're not allowed to pickle like vegetables on Shabbos. So therefore, you're not allowed to make this heavy salt water on Shabbos. However, it's a small amount of salt in the water, then it's mutter. However, Omer Rabbi Yossi says that Valoi who hill me bein meruba or bein muat. Like, what's the difference whether you have a little amount of salt in the water or whether you have a lot of salt in the water? Now, as he holds, both should be asa, because he can't make a difference between a small and a lot. Therefore, he says, V'yelu hein mei melech hamutarim. Where is there a case that you let him make salt water on Shabbos? So he says it has to be that noisein shemen batchila. first you put some oil into the plate, letoicha mayim, and then you put water, or letoicha melech, then you put inside it salt. In other words, if you have the shemen there first, that's machlish, that takes away the power of the salt, then for sure the oil light takes it away. It does not look like you'd be ma'abid, you're preparing, you're preserving, pickling the food.
Mishnah Gimel. Ein oichlin e zoivim b'shabbos.
Well, some have the girsa ezoiv yovim b'shabbos. You can't eat a Greek ezoiv, which is type of a grass, type of a hop, type of a something that grows. You can't eat this on Shabbos. It's not a healthy person's food. In other words, this is a refuah. There's a medicine that people take to kill the worms in their stomach. So therefore, you're not allowed to take medicine on Shabbos. Therefore, this is also. But you're allowed to eat the yoezer. This is a different type of a herb that grows. But the pshat over here is that even normal people eat this also. Therefore, even though you are eating it now also to kill the worms inside you, still it's mutter. V'shoyse abuv roya. And you're allowed to drink this abuv roya. Also, type of a growth that you soak in water. The same thing, you're allowed to drink this because healthy people drink this also. Now, kol oichlin oichel adam lerefua. Any type of normal food that normal people eat, that food you're allowed to eat it, even though your intentions is to heal you. V'chol hamashkin shayis, and all type of drinks you're allowed to drink to heal yourself, as long as healthy people drink it also. Chutz mimei dekolim v'koisi karim mifnei shehein liyiroika. You're not allowed to drink this water that comes from Mimei Dekolim. It was a type of a well that came between two Dekolim, two palm trees. It was special water there that people used to drink it. If you are constipated, they used to take this to make you go. And the Koisi Korim, that's a cup also that you have the roots of some vegetables soaking in the water. And you drink that water because this water people do not drink, healthy people do not drink it. It's only meant for refuah. And it says b'fnei shehein liyiroikim, is people that have joined this drink this. Therefore, refuah we know is also to take on Shabbos. Zegzeri midrabbonim mishum zchikas hamamonim. The rabbonim said you can't take any type of a medicine on Shabbos because we're afraid maybe sometimes you'll grind down the medicine to use and you'll be over the issa malocha of tchina of teichin. So therefore, you're not allowed to take medicine only in a case where a person is very sick. If he's not follow mishko, a person that's so sick that has to stay in bed, then he's allowed to take medicine. The mission ends off. Avoshoisu made the kolim litzmo. But if somebody wants to drink this water that comes from the well between the two palm trees for the purpose because he's thirsty, he's not taking it because he's sick. He wants to heal himself mishum refuah. He's only taking it because he's thirsty. Then he's allowed to. V'soch shemini korin shlel refuah. You're allowed to sach. You're allowed to rub yourself with oil that comes from, that has ikarim and has roots inside it. The roots of basamim, you know, as you made like this oil, smell good like perfume. Still, you're allowed to use it, as long as your kavon, your intention says, shlel refuah. You're not doing it to heal yourself, you're just doing it for tainug, so that's mutter on Shabbos.
Mishnah Dalet. Ha choishesh bishinov. If somebody has a toothache, lo yigama bohen es hachoymitz.
He cannot wash out his mouth with vinegar and like then spit it out, because that shows us you're only doing it mishum refuah for medicine, and that's also.
Avo metapel hu kedarkoi, but you're allowed to eat it in a normal manner. Metapel means you're allowed to like dip your bread into this vinegar and eat it in a normal manner, and that's mutter. V'im nisrapa nisrapa, if that heals you, takes away the pain, the toothache, then it's mutter. Because again, that's like taking regular food, even though it heals you, you're allowed to take. Ha-choshesh b'mosnov.
If you feel pain by your thighs, is lo-yosuch yayin v'choymetz. You can't rub it with oil, with wine and vinegar. Because again, this nobody does for pleasure. You only do it for refuah. It looks like a refuah medicine. It's awesome.
Avosochu es ha-shemen. But you let it rub regular oil. V'loy shemen verit, but you're not allowed to use this special oil called shemen verit. It's like a rose oil, because since it's so expensive, people know you did not use it for your own pleasure, but rather people only take it for refuah.
B'nei Melochim, the children of kings, Sochin Shemen Verad Amakasayim, they're allowed to rub this rose oil upon their mak, upon their wound, because they use it the whole week, the whole time. Therefore, it's not nikar, like the Mishnah says, Shekein Darkam Losach Bachoil. This is the way they rub themselves, even in the middle of the week. It's normal pleasure for them. Therefore, it's mutter to do it even on Shabbos, even though now they're doing it to heal their wound. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Kol Yisrael b'nei Melochim. No, it's mutter for anybody. Any single Jew is considered like the children of kings, that he's allowed to use this soch, and he could rub himself with Shemen Verit.
But our koponim, the yisoid here is that the Rabbonim made an issa not to take a refuah, not to take medicine on Shabbos, again providing you're not that sick that you have to be in bed. However, if it's a regular food that a normal person eats, even though you're taking it now to heal yourself, that's mutter. But if it's type of a food that normal people do not eat it, it's only being eaten for refuah, then if you take it for the purpose of healing yourself, it's asa. If you take it for the purpose just because you're thirsty, then it's mutter.
Perek Tezvov. Eluk Shorim Shechayovim Aleim.
These are different type of nuts that if you make them on Shabbos, Yechayiv, one of the Av Malachas is kosher. Kesher Hagmalim, a special type of a knot that they make to hold the camels in place. For Kesher Hasafonim, and the sailor's knot. Or Kishem Shuchayiv Al Kishurun, the same way if somebody makes this type of a knot, he's Chayiv for making the Kesher, making the knot. Kachu Chayiv Al Heteron, the same thing you Chayiv for untying it. If you have the knot that was made before Shabbos, and now you untie it on Shabbos, also you Chayiv. Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Meir says, if you have a knot that it's possible to untie it with the use of one hand, you're not chayiv for this. That is not considered a kesher shel kayoma. It's not called a knot that stays a long time. Now, the machloek is exactly what's the pshat from these knots that we say a kesher hagemalim and a kesher asfanim. Is it stam the pshat that it's a kesher shel kayoma? Means it's a knot that you have intentions and it does stay for a long time. That's what you chayiv for. Or else some learn, no, it has to be kesher shel umnin, a special type of a knot.
But whatever it is, these are special types of knots that for sure lasts a long time. It's called a kesher shel kayoma.
Mishnah Beis. Yesh lechok shorim shein chayovim aleihen. There are certain type of knots that you're not chayiv midirais if you make them. Kekesher hagmalav or kesher hasfanim, like the camel's knot or the sailor's knot. Then the Mishnah says that kosheres isha enisha is allowed to tie mafteach chaluka, the like neck opening of her shirt, v'chute svocho, or the straps, the cords of a hairnet, the shapsikia, type of a girdle she wears, or else an apron, or ritsuya is minu of a sandal, or else the straps of a shoe or sandals, the noidos yain v'shemen, or the leather bottles of wine or oil, or kidera shabasa, or else a pot of meat.
And the pshat is that these type of knots are not called the kesher shel kayoma because it's meant to open up and close every day. Things like your shoelaces that you open and close every day, that's not called the kesher shel kayoma. That's mutar lechatchila to do it on Shabbos.
Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov Omer, Eliezer ben Yaakov says, koshrin lefnei abehema, you're allowed to tie up your animal b'shvil shalai teitze, in order that she not go out.
And also the same shots, not mensha kayoma, does not stay there, you're going to take it off to let the animal go out. Therefore, you're allowed to do this on Shabbos.
Koshrin deli bab sikyo, you're allowed to tie the bucket to a belt, avoloi bachevel, but not with a string, not with a rope. Because to a rope, you'll leave it there a long time, that'll be a kesher shel kayoma. But to your belt, that's going to take off soon, therefore it's not called a kesher shel kayoma. Reb Yehuda says no, even with a chevel, even with a rope, also it's muta. Klal omer Reb Yehuda said a general rule like this: kol kesher sheina shel kayoma ein chayovim olof. Any type of a knot that's not going to stay for a long time, you're not chayev on it.
Now the Gemara says the machloek is between Reb Yehuda and the Tanakhama. If he could tie you up this bucket with a rope, he's talking about a special type of a rope that you're going to use.
So therefore, the machlokes is that since you're going to use it, you're for sure going to untie it. It's not going to be a kesher shakayama. But the Tanakhama says we make a gzera that if you use this rope, you're afraid to use any type of a rope. And Rabbi Yehuda holds, no, we did not make the gzera. So that's his klal. As long as this type of a knot is not going to be there for a long time, you plan to use it and untie it soon, that's mutter to do on Shabbos.
The Mishnah Gimel, Mekaplin es hakelim, you're allowed to fold up your clothing, even if you want to do it 4 or 5 times on Shabbos, still you're allowed to fold it up to keep it clean, in order that it shouldn't get wrinkled or crumbled up, you're allowed to fold it nicely. However, there are special halachas exactly when you're allowed to do it, which type of clothing, or not white clothing, so halacha, you have to know exactly which ones you're allowed to, which ones you're not allowed to. The Mishnah says then, Umatziyin es hamitas, you're allowed to make your beds, Milel Shabbos l'Shabbos, from the night of Shabbos to the day of Shabbos, as long as you're doing it for Shabbos itself, you're allowed to make your bed. Avoloi mi Shabbos l'moitzoi Shabbos, but you're not allowed to make, spread out the bed on Shabbos for the purpose to use it on Moitzoi Shabbos. You can't do hachonah, prepare on Shabbos for Moitzoi Shabbos. Rabbi Yishmael says, Mekaplin es hakelim, you're allowed to fold over the clothing, or matzin es hamitas, you're allowed to spread out the bed, miyom ha-kippurim l'Shabbos. From Yom Kippur to Shabbos, let's say Yom Kippur comes out on Friday, you want to do it for Shabbos, that's mutter. V'chel be Shabbos kreivim b'yom ha-kippurim. And the chelav, the karbonus of Shabbos, you're allowed to burn, bring it on Yom Kippur. Avoloi shayom ha-kippurim b'Shabbos. But the kabbonis of Yom Kippur, that you're not allowed to bring on Shabbos. You're not allowed to burn it on Shabbos. The chelav, even the fat that's supposed to be burnt, you're not allowed to do it on Shabbos. Rabbi Akiva says, though, loy shel Shabbos kreivim b'yom ha-kippurim, v'loy shel yom ha-kippurim kreivim b'Shabbos. No, you're not allowed to bring the fat that's supposed to be brought in Kippur on Shabbos. And the opposite way, you can't bring the fat that's supposed to be burnt on Shabbos, you can't bring it on Yom Kippur. It's called two special days, you can't bring one for the other. And for sure you would not be allowed to fold the clothing then from like a Shabbos to Yom Kippur to a Shabbos. Because according to Rabbi Kippur, they're like both Shavim. And the Loch is like Rabbi Kippur. But you're not allowed to prepare from Yom Kippur for Shabbos or from Shabbos for Yom Kippur. Yeperek Tezayin. The Mishnah says, Kol Kisvei HaKodesh. All type of ksovim of Kodesh, which means either Torah, Nevi'im, Muksuvim, is Matzilin Oysom Efnei Hadleika. You're allowed to save it from a fire on Shabbos, even though it means carrying it outside. We'll soon see to where you can carry it. Bein Shekorin Behen, whether you're allowed to read from it, which means Torah and Nevi'im, you're allowed to read from on Shabbos. Or Vein Shein Korin Behem, or whether like by Ksuvim, that you're not allowed to read from it on Shabbos. We'll soon see why. Now, V'yafa Pisha Ksuvim B'chol Lashon, even though they're written in any language, not in Lashon HaKodesh, even though they're written in other languages, that the Halacha, according to one man Diyom, according to Rav Shimon Gamliel, and Masechta Megillah says that you're not allowed to read from it, even in the weekday, but still the Mishnah says, Tuna Geniza, you should know you're supposed to like bury it, hide it. So in other words, you don't have a heter to save it, to carry it outside from a fire on Shabbos. However it is, Tuna Geniza, you have to like bury it, hide it, if it was written B'chol Lashon. Now the Mishnah explains, Umepnei Ma Ein Karim Behem, how come you're not allowed to read from Ksuvim on Shabbos? Why not? So it says, Mifnei Bittul Beis HaMedrash, because of the Bittul of the Beis HaMedrash.
Which means that the Rav used to give a drasha on Shabbos, and during his drasha he would teach them halachis, he would give them Musa. So Chumim wanted that everybody should come to the drasha. So therefore they said, you're not allowed to learn Ksuvim during the time of the drasha, because if you sit down to learn Ksuvim, we're afraid you'll be Moshech, you go after it, and you'll miss the drasha. Therefore, during the drasha, you're not allowed to learn Ksuvim on Shabbos. Now, but still, you're allowed to save it from a fire on Shabbos. Now, Matzilin Tik HaSeferim HaSefer. When you save the Sefer Torah carried outside, you're allowed to carry out also the cover to the Sefer Torah. Also, you're allowed to carry outside. And the same thing, v'tik ha-tfilin im ha-tfilin. You're allowed to carry outside the cover for the tfilin with the tfilin. V'yafal pi sheyesh pesochin mois, even though you have money inside the covering of the tfilin, still you're allowed to carry it outside on Shabbos. Now, olaheichin matfilin oisan, until where can you carry the Sefer Torah or the tik
on Shabbos, again, if there's a fire in the shul and you want to carry the Sefer Torah outside, to where are you allowed to carry it? So it says, L'mavui she'ena mafulish. You're allowed to carry it to a mavui which is not mafulish.
Which means not opened up on two sides, let's say like an alleyway, which is closed on three sides. Only the fourth side is open to the Rishus Rabbim. And we're talking about where there is a lechi there. So therefore, it's only really missing a shtufei mavois. They didn't make an erev like a shtufei mavois. They didn't collect the pasta bread from everybody there. But as far as the mechitzas goes, really all four mechitzas are there. To such a mavi, you'll have to carry out, even though they did not make the shtufei mavois. Ben Beseira says, Afla mafulish. Even to a mavi that's opened up like a street, that's opened up on both sides, and even though there's no lechi on the fourth side, still it's mutter. That's what Reb Ben Beseira holds. However, the loch is not like Ben Beseira. It's only mutter to carry it out to a mavi that's not mafulish, that on the fourth side there is a lechi there. The Mishnah Beis, Matzilin Mozoin Sholish Sudais, you're allowed to save from a fire on Shabbos, Mozoin, food, for three meals worth. Haroi liyodim liyodim. If you're saving it for yourself, for a person, how much a person eats. Haroi labehema labehema. If you're saving the food for your animal, you have to feed him. You're allowed to save how much food your animal eats. Kate said, how is this? Noflo deleika b'leil Shabbos. Let's say the fire comes out on your house on Friday night on Shabbos. So matzilin mozon sholos sudis. Then you're allowed to save the three sudis worth of food. Because since you need three meals to eat on Shabbos, you're allowed to save three meals worth of food. That'll carry out of your house again the food into the mavi, which is not mafulish. Bishachris, let's say the fire first happens Shabbos in the morning, then matzilin mozon shtei sudis. You can only save two sudis worth of food. Because you only have to have two more meals. You already had one meal by night. Ba mincha, let's say the fire takes place in the afternoon, then mozon sudachris, you can only save the food for shalosh sudis. Food for one meal. Rabbi Yossi says, "Le'olam matzilin mozon sholos sudis." No, at any time of the day on Shabbos, whenever the fire takes place, you're always allowed to save this amount of three sudis. In other words, he holds, since that's the chiyuv to have three meals a day on Shabbos, therefore you're allowed to save the food for three meals. However, the halach is not like Rabbi Yossi. You're only allowed to save as much food as you go and eat you need for the Shabbos. Mishnah Gimel. Matzilin sal mole kikoros. You're allowed to save a basket full of breads. Afo pi shiesh po meya sudas. Even though you have enough bread here for 100 meals. But since it's in one basket, you're carrying out in one tircha, one bada, you could carry out the whole basket already. The eagle shell dvela, you're allowed to save. Also, if you have these figs that are squashed together, and it looks like an eagle, like a round, a cake of figs, you're allowed to save them. You can save a barrel of wine. Even though that a barrel of wine is plenty, is more than you need for one Shabbos, but again, since it's in one tircha, you're allowed to save it. Now, you're allowed to tell other people also, come and save for yourself. If you're smart, if the owner of the house is smart, when he sees his house is burning down, like he could tell the other people, listen, come and save for yourself the sudas, three sudas worth of food. But you should know, after Shabbos, I'll take care of you. In other words, you could pay me back for it after Shabbos. And the Gemara really explains that the Pshatim here is, we're talking about Yirei Shemayim Etzadik. So if he sees somebody else like telling him, go take the food, the person really doesn't want to take it for nothing. So really, after Shabbos, like, he'll pay him back for the food. However, if you're a Chochem, though, you know you're allowed to take Schar Tircha, like the reward, the pay, for the bother that you had of saving, taking out the food, for that schar, that tircha, you are allowed to take money. You're allowed to take money for. So that's called oisim imoy chesh benachar Shabbos. Now here also it says lehechen matzilin oisan. To where can you save? Where can you take out this food? Lechotza hamurevis. Food you could only take out to a chotzer that there is an erev around the chotzer. In other words, here we're not so maker like we were before by Kisvei HaKodesh. Over here it's only mutter to carry out the food into a chotzer that there is an erev you're allowed to carry there anyway. Ben Beseira says, Afli Sheinim Erevis. He says, no, you have that to carry out even to a chotzer that does not have an erev, that otherwise you would not be allowed to carry, but here there's a special heter. But again, we do not pass like Ben Beseira, but rather like the Tanakama.
that if you want to save the food, you could only save the food only to outside the chotzer, which has an erev around it.
The Mishnah Dalad Ulisham, and to there, which means to a chotzer hamurevis, if there's an erev around the chotzer, then moitzi kol kalei tashmishoi. You'll have to carry out of your house all the kelim that you're going to need for that Shabbos. For loivish kol ma sheyochel ulvoish, you'll have to wear all the type of clothing that you could wear. For yoitav kol ma sheyochel atav, and you can wrap around yourself any type of clothing that you could wrap around yourself. Rabbi Yossi says, shemoy nosa kelim. You're only allowed to carry out 18 clothing, not more. This is the type of the clothing that you could wear even when you're fatumut. Now, v'choyze v'loivish, after you carry out these 18 clothing, come back in again, put on another 18 clothing, or might see you take it out. And v'yoyim elacherim, again, you could tell other people also, boyu v'atzilu imi, come and save with me.
Now, all right, turn over.
Now, the reason why this heter of carrying out the clothing and then again wearing another set of clothing is not brought down before by food, it's mashmah by food, you're only allowed to carry out exactly mazon gimel sudas. And the pshat is, because really we're talking about now, you're carrying it out to a chotzer hamarevis, that there's no isteroid, so you're allowed to carry out. Just midrabbanan were afraid if a person will be used to carrying out these things, he may be so fatumut, so mixed up, that he may come to put out the fire. Therefore, the Chum do not want you to carry things outside, only what you really need for the Shabbos, only the food you need for the Shabbos. However, the clothing, since the clothing, you're not carrying it out, you're only wearing it out, but since you're wearing it out, then we're not afraid, you'll be fatumat, you may come to put out the fire. But since you're only wearing it out, then we say you could wear 18 clothing, then put them off outside, then come inside again and put on another 18 clothing and wear them out. Here you can keep on doing it over and over again, wearing out as many clothing as you could.
Yemishne hei, Rabbi Shimon Benanis Oimer, Porosin or Shogdi, you're allowed to spread out a skin from a kid, Agabe Shido Tevo Migdol, on top of a chest, a box, or a migdol, some said it's a wardrobe. There's three different type of chests. Shoachas Ben Es Or, if it caught fire, if you have fire upon your chest or your box, you're allowed to spread out skin on top of the box, the part that did not catch fire yet, because when the fire gets there, it'll only scorch it. In other words, it won't catch fire, the skin, and the skin will only cause it to go out. This is called like a grumma, you're only causing it to go out later, you're preventing the fire from spreading, therefore it's mutter. You're allowed to make a mechitza, you're allowed to make a partition with all type of vessels, bein maleim bein rekonim, whether they're filled up with water or whether they're empty. Bishvil shaloi tavar hadleika, in order that the fire should not spread. Again, you're allowed to do this to stop the fire from spreading. It's not called you're doing an action directly to put out the fire. That's kibui. That's osur. It's only called yegorim. You're only causing it to go out. Causing it not to spread. Rabbi Yossi says it's also bechle cheres chadoshim. If you have new earthly kelim, earthly vessels, maleyimayim. If they're full of water, you can't make the partition from these type of vessels filled with water. Lefi shen yecholim lekabeles or, because they cannot withstand the fire. In other words, vehein misbakim, if for sure will crack. O mechaben esadleika, and that's considered like you're doing an action of putting out the fire. So according to Rabbi Yossi, this is not called the grumma, this is called you're putting out the fire, therefore you're chayiv. Or at least this type of a grumma, Rabbi Yossi says it's also. Now this other type of grummas could be holdis mutter, but this type of a grumma, Rabbi Yossi holds it's also, and that even b'mokam a hefsid moment, still it's also. However, the loch is not like Rabbi Yossi, we hold that a grumma, a gurum, a kibui is mutter, and for sure b'mokam hefsid moment. Mishnah Vov. Nochri shebol lechabos. If a guy comes to put out the fire, your house or something is on fire, and a guy comes by himself to put out the fire, so lochri is ein oimrim loy kabei. We're not allowed to go tell him yes, put it out, because that's called an amir liyakim. You're not allowed to tell a guy. You can't tell a guy on Shabbos to do something for you. But vi al techabe, you do not have to tell him not to put it out.
In other words, if he goes and does it by his own, you're allowed to let him do it. Because we do not have an obligation to make sure they rest. It's not upon us. The opposite, the goy is allowed to do work on Shabbos. Therefore, if the goy comes and does it by his own, we're allowed to let him do it. We don't have to stop him. But if a katan comes to put out the fire, then ain shemim loy. We can't listen to him. In other words, we have to stop him. Because his rest is upon us. The father has a chiyuv to make sure the son rests on Shabbos. You're supposed to tell your son not to do an isser on Shabbos.
In other words, even though we hold that a katan oichon aveilois ain bezdin mitzavin lafrishai, if a katan doesn't have aveira, the bezdin, somebody else does not have a chiyuv to stop him. However, the father himself does. The father himself is supposed to stop his son. But right over here we say a svara that the son most probably is doing it to satisfy his father, so it's considered like he's doing it for the sake of his father, therefore the father has to stop him.
And by a guy, even though also maybe he's like doing it, he knows you want him to do it, but still we say a guy has his own das, he's doing it for himself, therefore you do not have to stop a guy that comes in and puts out the fire.
Mishnah Zayin. Koifin koro agabe haner, you're allowed to cover over a lamp with a koro, with a plate, with a basin, b'shvil shaloi techas b'koro, in order that the fire should not reach the beam of the house. Let's say you have a low ceiling, and you have an air burning, and you're afraid maybe the fire will reach the beam, so you're allowed to put a vessel on top of the fire in order that the fire should not reach the top beam. But providing there has to be space in between the fire and the vessel, in other words, you're not allowed to put out the fire. You're only allowed to put something on top of it to prevent the beam from catching on fire. The outsoyer shokotin, you're allowed to put a plate on top of the excretion of a cotton, even though it's like muksa, but still you're allowed to cover it up with, you could take a kli to cover it up. The al akrav shalor tishach. And if there's a scorpion, you're allowed to cover it up with a kli, in order that it should not bite you. In other words, even though l'maisa it's a little bit of a tzeidah here, you're like capturing it, but since it's not a mlocha tzrich l'gufa, you do not need the scorpion. You're only doing it that it should not bite you, therefore it's muta. But Omer Rabbi Yudah says that maisa bo lefnei Rabbi Yechonah ben Zakkai ba'aruf, it once happened a case like this, that a scorpion came in front of Yechonah ben Zakkai in Aruf, the Yomer, and he said that if he would cover it up with the kli, chayshesheni loy mechatis, I'm afraid maybe it's an avera, that maybe I have a chiv to bring a chatis. And the pshat is, because Rabbi Yehuda's shita is that a malacha shein tzrich leguf is chayiv alov. So therefore, if you capture the scorpion, even though your intentions is not to use it, so true, it's considered a malacha shein tzrich legufa, you do not need the actual malacha. You do not need the capturing of the scorpion. Like in the malacha, when you captured an animal, it was to use the skin, to use the animal. Here you do not need the animal. So it's called a malacha shein tzrich legufa. But Rabbi Yehuda shita is yichai for that. Therefore, according to Rabbi Yehuda, you would not be able to capture, to cover up a scorpion. A pshita, like if it's a konas nefosh, if you're afraid they'll bite you and kill you, then you're allowed to even go and kill it on Shabbos. You could save yourself. We're talking about now where it's not as a konas nefosh. It won't kill you. Just this time you want to protect yourself that it should not bite you, so it depends. If the capturing it now is a malacha of the rice, like a yudishita, it'd be also to do it. However, we hold like a mshimin that's called a malacha shen tzrich legufa. Therefore, if you want to capture the fly in order that it should not bite you and bother you, that would be muta. But providing you don't kill it, you only capture it. Yemishneches, nochri shehidlikes haner, a guy that lit a fire on Shabbos, is mishtamishli ore Yisrael. A Jew is allowed to have enjoyment from that ner, from the light. In other words, if the guy first lit the ner for himself, for his own private use, and then a Jew comes into the room, the Jew is also allowed to have enjoyment from that ner. But v'yim b'shvil Yisrael also. But if the guy knows that a Jew needs light, and the guy comes in and puts on the light for the Jew, that's also, it's also then for Jew to have enjoyment from it. Milo mayim lahashkas behemtoi, let's say a guy fetched water on Shabbos, that he took it from Rishus Yechot to Rishus Rabim,
or the opposite way, but he fetched the water for the purpose of his own animals to drink from, and he put it into this pool. Therefore, Mashkachro Yisrael could come afterwards and let his animals drink from the water. Since the malacha was not done for the Jew, it was rather done for the guy, then a Jew could have enjoyment from it. But v'yim b'shvil Yisrael also, but if the guy knows that the Jew needs the water, and he fetched the water for the Jew, then it's also for the Jew to have enjoyment from it. What about also goy keves lerid boy? Let's say a goy made a plank to go off the ship on Shabbos. He built himself a plank. So the halacha is yored achra of Yisrael. A Jew could have enjoyment from it. Since it was not done for the purpose of the Jew, it was done for the goy, therefore a Jew could also have enjoyment from it. But the im b'shvil Yisrael also. But if the goy made it for the purpose of the Jew, then it's also, if the goy does a halacha for a Jew, it's also for the Jew to have enjoyment from it. I mean, not only is there an issa of Amir Eliakim, not only can't you tell a guy to do a malacha for you, but who adin, if a guy comes and does it by himself, you're not allowed to have enjoyment from that malacha. Because it's also part of the gezerah that we're afraid maybe you come to tell him to do it.
Now the Mishnah says, Maisa Rabbi Gamliel Zakenim, once happened a story with Rabbi Gamliel and the Zakenim, show your boy in Basvina, that they came off the ship on Shabbos. And the case is that the ship came on dock, like right before Shabbos, because you have to be in the tchum of Shabbos before Shabbos in order to go off the ship on Shabbos. So the ship docked right before Shabbos. But he went off now on Shabbos. And the case was, we also goy keves lerid boy. Now there was a goy on the ship, and the goy made a plank to go off the ship for himself. So the goy made the plank for himself. So therefore, we yodu boy Rabbi Gamliel habiyazakeinim. Rabbi Gamliel, after this, went off the ship and used that plank. Had halacha, since the guy did it for himself, it's mutter to have enjoyment from it.
Yeah, Perek Yud Zayin. Kol ha-kelim nitolim ba-shabbos. All type of objects you're allowed to carry move on Shabbos. Fidal soseini mohim. You're also allowed to carry the door with them. In other words, if you have a type of a kli that has a door to it, let's say a chest, and the door comes off even before Shabbos, you're allowed to carry the door on Shabbos. It's not called muksa. And the Mishnah says, "Sheinam doimim ledalsois habayis," because it's not like the door of a house. Lufi sheinam in amuchen, because it's not prepared for anything else. The door of the house, the only thing it's omit to do with it is to put it back in the house. And that's binyan. That's also midiraisa. Therefore, it's muksa. However, the doors of a kli, it has other uses to it. Therefore, it's not called muksa. Even though you plan to put it back again after Shabbos. Mishnah Beis. Noitel Adam Kurnus Lefatzeya Boyes Esho Egoism. A person is allowed to take a Kurnus type of a hammer on Shabbos and to crack open nuts. In other words, even though a Kurnus is like a Klisha Malachta Leyeser, it is Muksa. You're not allowed to take it by itself because it's Oymed, its use is to bang with, which is Muksa, it's also to do on Shabbos. However, the klal is, since it's called the kli, it's called the utensil, letzarech gufay or letzarech mekaymay, it's mutter. If you're taking it to use it for davar heter, it's mutter. Like here, you're taking the hammer to break open nuts, that's mutter. The kurdom lachta chesed vel, if you want to take an axe to split like a fig cake, also it's mutter. And megera, a saw, ligra bayasagvin, if you want to cut through cheese. Magrefo, ligroi boyas agregris, another type of a spade, another type of a knife, if you want to use it to cut through dry figs, it's also mutter. Again, even though these kalim is malachta liyisa, but since you're using it now, let's sarach gufoi, to use it for a purpose of heter, you're allowed to touch it, it's not, you're allowed to touch this kli for the purpose of heter. Es horachas,
v'yes hamazleg, loseis olav lakotin. Now a rachas, that's a type of a shovel that you use to throw the tfua into the gerbin. Or else we have some mazleg, like a pitchfork. You're allowed to use these things if you want to use it to serve, to give food to your kid. So if you, again, if it's a tzarech dover heter, it's mutter. V'yeshakush, v'yeshakarkor, litchav boy. There's like a spindle, things and needles that you use for weaving. You're allowed to use it if you want to use it for to stick it into food, to serve food with it. Again, if you're using it for dovra heter, it's mutter. Machet shel yod, you're allowed to take a needle. Lito bayasakoitz, if you have a splinter in your hand, you want to take it out. Providing you're not going to make yourself bleed, you're allowed to do this on Shabbos. Veshel sakoyim, lichtoch boy es hadeles.
Sakoyim is a big needle that you sew sacks with it. Also, you're allowed to use it on Shabbos if you want to use it to open up the door. Let's say you lost your key and you could use this to open up the door with it. You're allowed to use it. Again, since it's a tzarech davar heter, it's mutter. Mishnah Gimel. Kona shel zeisim, a reed for olives. Im yesh keshev roishoy mekabel tuma. If it has a kesh like a knot on the top of it, then it's called a kli, so it could be mekabel tuma. The yimlav, if it does not have a knot on top of it, ain't mekabel tuma, then this reed is not mekabel tuma. Benkach nito b'shabbos. But in both cases anyway, it's not muksa, you're allowed to be metaltalit on Shabbos. Now this corner shel zeisim, that's a reed that they used to use when they're making olives, to press them like, so you have to mix them up. So they used to use this reed to mix it up. Therefore, it's called a kli. It has a shame utensil on it. Therefore, it's not muksa. The question is it mekabel tuma or not? So that depends if it has a kesher, if it has a knot on the top of it or not. Because if it has a knot on top of it, we say when you shake around, mix around the olives, some oil stays on the top of it. Therefore, it's considered like a base kibbler could accept. It could hold the liquid, the oil. Therefore, it's called a kli lekabel tuma. And if it does not have a knot on top of it, it cannot accept the shemen, it's not called the kli lekabel tuma. Rabbi Yossi says, kol ha-kelim nitolin, all type of utensils may be moved.
Like we had before, even though it's a kli shemlachta liyisar, if you're using it for the purpose of the kli, or the purpose to have to dover a heter, you're allowed to use it. Chutz min ha-master ha-godol, accept a large sua. The yoset shomachrisha, or the peg that they use in the plow. Because these things is muksar, because it's called muksa machmech chesorinkis, that the owner is afraid to move these things around, maybe they'll break and are very valuable to him. Therefore, it's a new type of a muksa of machmech chesorinkis, that you do not want to touch it at all. Therefore, it remains a muksa, and you cannot even use it letzarech dover heter. Even if we want to use this big sword to cut cheese, it would be also to use it on Shabbos. Kol ha-kelim nitolim letzarech v'shle letzarech. All type of utensils may be moved, whether you need it, it's necessary, or whether it's not necessary. In other words, as long as the kli is not muksa, let's say a fork or a spoon, even if you don't need the spoon right now, still you're allowed to move it around. Rabbi Nechemiah says no, a nitolim elo letzarech. You're only allowed to use a kli to move something if you need it. But if you do not need it for its purpose, then you're not allowed to touch any kelim. And according to Rav Nechemiah, even if the kli is malachta leheter, a case where the kli is not muksa, that is shit, you can't touch it unless you need it for a purpose. However, the halacha, we do not hold a Nechemiah. We hold as long as the kli is not muksa, you're allowed to be metaltlet for any other purpose. Mishnehei. Kol ha-kelim ha-nitolim b'Shabbos, all types of kelim that you're allowed to touch on Shabbos, shivreyem nitolim imoim. Even if they broke on Shabbos, you're allowed to move around the broken parts, the broken pieces. Ubevad sheyiyu oisin miyein melocha. It has to be able to be used, perform some type of work like it did before. Not the exact type of a melocha, but some type of a melocha. What does that mean? Shivrei areva. If you had your kneading dough, you're kneading a dish that broke, so the broken pieces now, lechasas bem es piach ovies, if it could be used to cover up the mouth of a barrel, that's good, as long as it still has some use to it, therefore it's not called muksa, you're allowed to touch it on Shabbos. Shivrei, chuches, if a glass kli broke, lechasas bem es piach poch, you use it to cover up the top of a poch, type of a glass, type of a jar, as long as it could be used for something, therefore it's mutter. However, if the broken pieces now are not used for anything, therefore it would remain muksa. So today, l'chur, if a glass breaks, it should remain muksa, because today we do not do anything with the broken glasses. The only tzar to clean it up is a question if it shouldn't get ruined, shouldn't get damaged from it, you shouldn't have a hezek. If it's a hezek, there are certain times that it's mutter. Now the Mishnah says, Rabbi Yehuda says, he says no, the broken piece is only mutter if it does the same type of malacha it did before. That means shivri areva lotzuk lesoicha mikva. It has to be at least a type of a malacha, the same type that was done before. So this areva, your kneading dough dish, if it broke, the broken piece has to be used
liten lots of latoicha mikva, that you could pour inside it right now, type of a soup, a mikva, a thick a dish.
That's like a dough, even though if you can't use it for kneading purposes, but at least it could retain some thick soup.
It's like the first malacha. Shivrei, yeah, and v'shel schuches, it was a glass jar, lots of lasoichen shem, it has to be now the broken jar could still be used, that you could store oil inside it. Otherwise, it would remain muksi, you wouldn't be able to use it. According to Rabbi Yehuda, would be considered like noilet, it was something happened to it, broke now on Shabbos.
Ho'even shebekaruya, that means, let's say you have a hollowed out pumpkin, that you set it aside to fetch water from the well with it. Now it doesn't go into the water, so you put a stone inside it. That is ho'even shebekeruha. You have a stone that you put inside this pumpkin in order to put weight into it, that it should be able to go into the well, and then you'll pick it up and fetch the water with it. So imimalin bovi einan ofelis. If when you fetch up the water, the stone will not fall off, then imimalin bo. You're allowed to use it on Shabbos because the stone is like bottle to the kli, to this pumpkin, and therefore it's not called muksa. The imlav, but if we're afraid that the stone would fall off, then ein memalim bo, then you can't use it on Shabbos, because it's called you're touching the stone. The stone is not bought to the pumpkin, therefore it's like muksa, you can't use it on Shabbos.
Zemoira shikshura betafich, if you have this zemoira,
that's a long branch from the vine, shikshura betafich, it's tied on to the dli, it's tied on to the pitcher. So then the lochur is memalin bo b'Shabbos. You're allowed to draw with it on Shabbos. Because now this zemoira, this branch, is not muksa anymore, but rather the branch is fitted like part of the pitcher, therefore you're allowed to fetch with it, or you could use it on Shabbos.
Mishnah Zayin. Pekaka chaloin. If you have a window shutter, so Rabbi Lezer says, bizman shu kosher, if it's tied on, v'soli and hanging, poikikimboi, then you're allowed to use this window shutter like to shut the window, to shut the hole on Shabbos. If it's again the shutter itself, like is hanging, and it's also tied on. But v'yim lav, if it's not both, if it's not tied on and hanging, ain't poikikimboi, then you're not allowed to use it on Shabbos because it looks like binyan, it looks like you're building on Shabbos. In both cases, still you're allowed to use it to like shut the window on Shabbos. And the pshat from the Chum is that since this was prepared from before Shabbos to use this shutter, like to close the window, therefore they hold this only be Moisef al oil arway on Shabbos, and therefore it's mutter. And that's like a loch, we take a pasuk and light the Chum. Then Mishnah Ches, call kisui kalim, any type of a lid. Lids of a vessel, sheyesh bem beis achiza, if it has a handle to it, nitola b'Shabbos, then you're allowed to use this kisui, you're allowed to use the lid on Shabbos. Amr Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Yosi says, b'med devar mamur, when was this said, v'kisa karka, there's only talking about the lid of a ground opening, then you have to have a handle on it to use it. Aba b'kisa kelim, if it's a lid for utensils, then benkach or benkach nitolam b'Shabbos, then there's no problem, then you could use it, any type of a covering of a utensil, of course you could use it on Shabbos. It's only a question if it's the utensil that's attached to the ground, then it's a question, does it look like you're building on Shabbos or not? So then we say there's a handle to the kisui, it's nearer clearly like it's only a lid, and therefore it's mutter to use on Shabbos. But if there's no handle to it, then it's also because it looks like you're building on Shabbos.
Perek Yudches, Mefanin afilo arba v'chomesh kupois shel teven v'shel tfua mifnei orchin o mifnei bitul beis hamedrash. On Shabbos, you let it clear away, Mefanin, let it clear away a room, you let it clear away four or five baskets of straw, shel teven v'shel tfua, straw or corn. Because of Orchim, you want to have guests come over your house now on Shabbos, you need the room, so you'll have to clear out the room, or else Mifnei Bito Beis HaMedrash. If you have no place to learn to give a shiur, you want to learn in the room, you'll have to clean out the room, even though it's work, clearing out four or five baskets full of straw or corn. Avoloyes Oitzer. But you're not allowed to clean it away completely. You can't clean away the room completely to get to the last one. Because if you clean off the floor completely, then we're afraid maybe you come to smooth out the holes on the ground. That's called Ashivuya Gumais, which is a told of Chayrish, which would be Yosem Adiraisa.
Therefore, we're not allowed to clean it out completely. Now, mefanin truma Torah. You're allowed to clean away if it's truma Torah or demai, even if it's demai. It means it's a sofik. You bought it from an amoritz now. You're not sure he took off truma semaisrois. Or maisarishin shenitla trumasai. Also, you're allowed to touch maisarishin that the truma was taken off already. In other words, these things are not muksa, therefore you're allowed to touch them. Or maisasheni vehegdish sheniftu. If it was maisasheni that you appoint, you put the kedusha onto the money, or else hegdish that you appoint, there's no more kedusha on the peris, so you're allowed to move these things on Shabbos. Vehar turmas hayovish. That's a dried out bean. It's a min kitnius, lupius they call it, a type of a bean. Even though it's dried out, still it's not muksa. Mifneishu meichol aniyim, because poor people eat it. Since poor people eat it, it's still called a meichol, it's not muksa. Avoloyes a tevel, but you're not let a move or touch tevel. That's fruits that were not masakin. You did not take off the trumas, the maestras of it before Shabbos. You're not let to touch it. Avoloyes a tevel. You can't touch my serishin that did not have its truma taken off. Also, it's muksa. If you were not poided the my sesheni or the hegdish, also the food is like muksa, you're not allowed to touch it on Shabbos. You can't touch the luf, that's a type of an onion. And not mustard seeds, because these things are not fit and not roy to eat on Shabbos. And you can't fix them, you can't cook them like on Shabbos, therefore they're not edible, it's not called a meichel. Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, mata baluf. He holds, no, this type of an onion, it's mutter. Why? Bevneishu meichel orvin, because the birds eat it.
In other words, the raven kritis. Now there are rich people that grow ravens, therefore by them it's not muksa, therefore Rabbi Shimon holds, kol yisroel b'nei melochim ein, therefore it's not called muksa for anybody.
However, the locher is like the Tanakhama. Since it's not shchiach, it's not aimed to have ravens around, we consider it muksa. Then Mishnah Beis.
Chavilei kash, a bundle of straw, v'chavilei yetzim, a bundle of wood, v'chavilei zrodin, that's a bundle of soft branches. So it depends. Im hiskino l'maychu v'heima, if you prepared it for the food of animals, then you're allowed to touch it on Shabbos. It's not muksa. Since it's aimed to feed your animals with it, it's not muksa. V'yimla, but if you did not prepare it for this purpose, but rather for other purpose, for burning purposes or for building purposes, that you're not allowed to use it on Shabbos, ein metalt lenoison. Then you're not allowed to move these bundles of wood or straw around because it's muksa. But now, koifin es hasal lefnei hafrechim. You're allowed to turn over a basket in order that the chickens may go up it. Lefnei hafrechim. Kidei shiyalu v'yerdu, they should be able to go up or go down from their coop. So you're allowed to turn over a basket for this purpose. In other words, even though the chickens themselves are muksar on Shabbos, you're not allowed to touch them. However, we hold, not like Rav Nechemiah, that you're allowed to move a kli, as long as the kli, the basket, is not muksa, even though it's for the purpose of muksa. And it's not considered here you be mevatel kli mehechonoi, because the chickens fly off, do not stay on it the whole time. But if it would be a thing that you won't be able to use it anymore, it would be an issue to do that, because you would be mevatel the kli mehechonoi. But over here, since the chickens fly off, therefore, you're not being mevatel, you're not making the kli not usable anymore. Therefore, you're allowed to turn over this basket for the purpose of the chickens, that they should be able to go up and go down. Tana goylisha borcha. Let's say you have a chicken that ran away, that escaped. Is doiche noise achetikonis. You're allowed to push it in order that it should go back into its cage. That's called doiche noise. Now, by the chickens, by the birds, you're only allowed to push it, but not grab a hold of it, because we're afraid maybe it may fly a little bit and you'll be carrying it. Therefore, you're not, like moving the muksa. Therefore, you're only allowed to push it and not allowed to grab a hold of it. Marshenkin medadadin agolim usiyochim b'shus rabim. But you're allowed to grab a hold of a young calf in the shus rabim and to make it move, because here we're not afraid maybe you come to pick it up, because you can't pick it up. It goes by itself. Therefore, it's not called a real tiltal of muksa, since it moves by itself. It's only called you're directing it. So this is mutter to do on Shabbos, but for that, where it's a hefsid mammon. So otherwise, you may lose it. Therefore, you're allowed to grab a hold of it and direct it where to go.
Isha medades bino. A lady is allowed to also grab a hold of a kid and direct the kid which way to walk on Shabbos. Omer Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda says, Hey Masai, when is this? Pizman shenoytel achas umaniach achas. When the kid could lift up one and put down the other. Avlam hoyi gerer osa. If you have to drag along, that's osa. If you have to drag along the kid, that's called like you're carrying the kid, and it's osa midirabona to carry somebody. Even though midiraisu we say the svara of chai noisi esatzmoi, a live person carries himself, but I call upon him midirabona, though it's osa.
And some say over here, the Duran says, we'll even be Yosem Midiraisa over here. Since you're grabbing it, it's not called Chai Noisi Satsma in this case. When you be gur it, death would be Yosem Midiraisa. So Mishnah Gimel, Ein Miyaldin Es Abahema B'Yomtif. You're not allowed to deliver an animal on Yomtif, and for sure on Shabbos also the same thing. Since it's a Tircha Gedoyla, it's also to do on Shabbos. To like push the vlad out of the mother's stomach, like to get, help it deliver, that's also to do. Avo mesadin, but you let it just give a little bit help. That means when the baby comes out, you let it grab the baby, should not fall on the floor. That's not such a big tircha, that's muta. But o miyaldin es isha b'shabbos, but you're allowed to deliver a lady on Shabbos. That is by a person, you're allowed to help her give birth on Shabbos. In other words, you're allowed to push out, you're allowed, even though it's Tircha G'dayla, for a person it's mutter to do on Shabbos. And for sure on Yom Tif. And the Koran law, Chachoma, you're allowed to call for her a midwife, Mimokan Lamokan, from place to place. Or Mechalin Oleras Shabbos, and you give you Mechal Shabbos for her. It's just called the Sukkonos Nefoshos, you're allowed to do whatever she needs on Shabbos. For Koshrin Esatabar, you're allowed to tie up the navel on Shabbos. Because also it's a kind of sefashas if you don't. Rabbi Yossi says, "Av choytchin, you're not even to cut it on Shabbos. V'chol tzorche milo isim b'Shabbos. All things that are necessary for milo, also it's doicha Shabbos. And that's the next parak we'll learn about, that milo is doicha Shabbos. Therefore you're allowed to do all tzorche milo on Shabbos. All right, we'll stop here. We'll continue on the...